Cool. Let's get ready for the next session that we've got on the agenda for today, which is about more personal computing. Doesn't that sound very cool and cozy and warm and no? First, a couple of slides to introduce you to the concept that we call more personal computing. The idea was actually launched some time ago by one of the big execs that we've got at Microsoft, which is Terry Myerson. He's let's say the Windows guy. And one of the ambitions that we have is, with Windows, that is, to make sure that people actually want to use Windows again. A lot of people had to use Windows in the past, and that was not always a great experience, let's say. But now we really have the ambition to bring the love for Windows back from people having to use Windows to go to people that would love to make use of Windows. Now that we've got Windows 10, important to understand that everything that we're going to talk about is pretty much applicable to any form factor that we've got for Windows. So later on, we're going to talk about, for example, let's say Windows Hello, that you can find on any form factor on the Xbox One, on a phone, on a tablet, and so forth. Now, when we talk about more personal computing, what we're actually talking about is human technologies, as we call them. What are the human technologies that I'm going to talk about in this presentation? Well, first thing that I'm briefly going to mention, it is known for quite some time, I think, it's a thing that's called gestures. Think of it as touch display. Second one is identity. That's how you log in into a computer system, how you prove to a computer system that you are, for example, this person, because you know the username and the password. But we all know that username passwords are, well, not that secure, because you can guess them, you can pass them along. So we're going to see some solutions for that. We're going to talk about speech, having your computer talk and talking to your computer. And then to finish off, also a small demo / lab that we're going to do about inking technology, the ability to actually write on a screen. And I'm not talking about the a real pen, but a digital pen that's going to be captured by the operating system. But let's start by talking about gestures. In the past, a lot of computers were non-touch-based. Still today, a lot of computers are non-touch-based, but you can see the new devices coming out, especially the Windows 10 devices. They pretty much all have a touchscreen. That means that you can use your finger to touch the device, to select some things on the user interface, and so forth. So we're going from, you can't touch this, to, I can touch this. People that are old enough get the reference to the famous song, and apparently those old people are sitting in front of the room. This is actually pretty funny. I mean, I've got a daughter that is nowadays, I think, around I know. can we cut that out of the recording? No, she is 5 years old. And well, of course, at home, we've got quite a lot of digital devices. And many of them, if not all of them, are running Windows. And she was used to work with Windows 8 back in the day when it came out, with tile user interface on a nice surface, being able to swipe and touch and stuff like that. And at a certain day, I had my Xbox on. Maybe there are some gamers in the room. Then you probably know. What's an Xbox? Yeah, it's also a computer. But people that know Xbox, they know that the user interface is quite similar. You've got the tiles, so we've got the same UI concept all over in Windows. And what my daughter actually tried to do was touch the TV, because she thought that, well, those are the same tiles as I've got on the Surface, so I can touch them. Of course, that didn't work, because I don't have a touch TV. And doesn't make a lot of sense to have a touch TV, I think. But just to prove the point that a lot of people nowadays, especially children that grew up with this kind of stuff, are assuming that you can touch devices, that you can use your finger, for example, to make a choice in user interface, and so forth. I'm not going to give you a demo of touch. I think we've all got smartphones or other devices that you can touch. So that's not a very exciting device, as I said. That's not a very interesting demo. Second thing is a bit more interesting to talk about. That is identity. I already explained to you, in a computer system, it's quite important that you are able to authenticate yourself, that you can prove to the computer system that you know that you are a specific person. And you can do that by specifying typically and traditionally a username and a password. Now, we all know that username passwords are not very secure. We still see a lot of people choosing either very easy passwords, or if they've got a complex password, they stick it behind their computer, beneath their keyboard, for example, on a post-it note. And we all know that, well, you can just read it and you can make use of the account of that user. Throughout the years, we have been trying to actually solve that issue. Things that we have tried, for example, was by adding two-factor authentication. So that means that besides knowing the username password, you need to know a second thing, the second factor. Compare it maybe with the thing that you do with the home banking at home. So you need to log in into your account, and every time that you do something that is being considered as something sensitive, for example, you need to provide, well, an additional way for authenticating and authorizing by using that, we call it at home the bakske, the device where you put in your card and then enter some difficult codes, and then you prove that you are really that person. Now, the two-factor thing is very secure, but it's not always a very nice user experience, let's say, because you need to have that second factor by hand. You need to enter in codes and all that kind of difficult stuff. So at Microsoft, they thought about that thing, and they tried to make it a bit more, let's say, user-friendly. So they came up with a feature that they called Windows Hello, which is basically about allowing you to authenticate against Windows by making use of a better thing than just a username and a password. And what we are trying to do over there is we're trying to incorporate biometric information. Like, for example, we can make use of your fingerprint to authenticate. So you can just swipe your finger and you can sign in if the fingerprint is going to match. Now, if you think about fingerprints, you could argue that fingerprints are not that secure either, because somebody could try to borrow your finger, and then it's probably going to work for a couple of more hours. Somebody knows a more secure biometric way to do authentication? Eye scanning. Somebody also knows why eyes are considered to be more secure? I never tried, but apparently when you borrow somebody's eye, it gets blurred pretty soon, so you are not able to use it for a very long time. So what I'm going to show you in a second is some technology that we've got in Windows, which is called Windows Hello, that is going to allow you to authenticate yourself by using a camera, an infrared camera, that scans your face and that scans your eyes and your iris. So that's a pretty secure mechanism. It doesn't work with just any camera. As I said, you need to have an infrared camera to actually make it work. And I've got over here that Lumia 950 XL device that has a camera built in that is front-facing that's compatible with Windows Hello. It's a little bit difficult to show in this very large room, but if I just turn on my phone, you can see the picture of my daughter that I was talking about. So she's 5 years, I know it by now. And if you would be able to see the screen, you would actually see, well, could not recognize you. And you also see this red dot, the LED that is actually turned on. At this point in time, my telephone is actually looking for, well, a face to scan to see if it's going to recognize that face to authenticate. What I'm going to try to do is not stand in a bright light, then it doesn't work that well. I'm only going to turn on my device and I'm going to try to sign in. So if I go like this, looking for you, making sure it's you. Hello, Jan. And if you guys can confirm, indeed, it's my start screen that appeared. To prove, maybe what I can do is go here and try to scan, let's say, Gilles. Look intelligent, Jill. No, couldn't. Well, let's try one more. With a beard? No? Well, more intelligent? Move closer?
Nicer than young.
Make it short too.
Yeah, see? So, as I said, it's difficult to show in a big room, but I can make use of this phone by just looking at it. And you may think, well, maybe it's like a gimmick, but very often I notice that, well, by just turning it on and wanting to entering my passcode, well, I was already logged in because my device recognized me by just looking at me. So it works pretty well. If you have a desktop machine, a Windows machine, that would have a Windows Hello compatible camera, that would also work. The new Surface Pro 4, for example, has an infrared camera built in. There are some other devices that are already compatible. Then you can log in into your main machine and your laptop also by just looking at it. That's a pretty cool thing. First time you try it, of course, you have to learn a bit. You have to learn your face to the device. But it's a pretty cool scenario. Feels a little bit like science fiction, let's say. Third human technology that I would like to talk about rather briefly is speech. So what you can do nowadays, I think it's not new anymore, is you can actually talk to your computer, and your computer can talk to you. So basically the technology that we are using is text-to-speech, where the computer will be able to read some text to you by transforming that plain text into bits and bytes that go through the speakers. And the other way around is, of course, speech recognition that we've got some time as well. If you're a Windows developer, you actually have some technology that will help you to build applications that make use of this. For example, there's a library that makes it quite easy to convert plain text into spoken words that you can play to your computer. And the other way around is also true. You can build an application that can listen for words that are spoken and that can translate those words back to plain text that you can then incorporate into your application. If you would like to have a nice real example of this, maybe you know the Xbox One, where you can actually can talk to. So if you've got an Xbox One, you can say Xbox One on, the device will turn on, and you can give your Xbox an instructions. On mobile operating systems, this is also not very new technology anymore. You guys probably know Siri, and the equivalent on Android, is it Google Now? Is that the name? Yeah. And on Windows, we've got something similar that we call Cortana. Unfortunately, Cortana is not yet available in Belgium. So if you would like to make use of it on a device that you own, the thing that you need to do is you need to switch your language into US English or any other region where it's supported. And you also need to set your location to the States. And then you can make use of Cortana and have conversations with your devices. As an application developer, you can hook into that technology as well. And it's not really difficult to do so. But once again, unfortunately, in Belgium, the pity is that we don't have Cortana yet. So it's a bit of difficult to show you that. What I do want to show you a bit more in detail is the last human technology that I've got over here on my slide, which is the inking technology. And inking technology, of course, is going to allow you to write on your screen. And not only writing on your screen, but also having your device recognize what you have been writing. So recognize the characters that the person has been writing on the screen. You may be wondering, why is that so interesting? Well, writing is human. A lot of people, when they go to meetings, they still are carrying sheets of paper because they like to quickly draw something on it. We all know that writing on sheets of paper, it's nice, but if you have to look for something, the search in your physical sheets of paper is not as good as a search in your mailbox. So it would be great if we can capture all of that information that is written down and then transform it into the digital world. What I would like to do next is show you a very basic application that I'm going to build up from scratch that will allow your users to write something on the screen, and your application, if the handwriting is not as bad as mine, is actually recognized by the application. There is a complete lab that is written out in the documentation. I would suggest that you just try to follow me. I'm going to make a simpler version of the lab by just writing a couple of lines of code, which will already give you a pretty nice result. So if you want to follow, now is the time to boot up Visual Studio. And over there, just create a brand new project. I'm going to do that together with you guys. File, new project. Let's go for a blank app in the universal section under Windows. Make sure you select the right template, of course. And once again, if you can't follow or if you have a question, feel free to raise your hand, and then, as usual, we assign a minion that will come and help you. That was the wording that we were using, yes. Cool, we've got some fans. Now, once you've got your application, your blank application, what I would like you to do is to go into the mainpage.xaml. Now, just open up that file, double-click on it, so we can see the XAML. Feel free to use the designer, but you already know I'm a bit of old school, so I like to type my XAML in this view. One control that we need to add, and the control that we need to add is the control with the name ink canvas. So just type, maybe let's make my font a little bit bigger so everybody can read it for sure, like this. So far, at this point in time, that's the only thing that you need to do in your XAML. You can already hit F5, deploy to your local machine to see the result. I'm going to warn you up front, it's not going to be very exciting yet, but we're building a story, okay? So that's the application. The ink canvas is completely blank, but if you try to, well, if you've got a touch device, write on it or use your mouse, it's not going to do anything. Why is that? Well, the ink canvas by default is going to listen for pen input. There are some devices like the Surface of Shield that you've seen that actually comes with a pen that you can write on. For the demo's sake, I'm going to tell this application that we are also going to allow users to write by using touch or allow users by writing with their mouse if you don't have a touch device. So even if you don't have a touch device, you will still be able to do this demo. Of course, if you have to write by using your mouse, maybe the handwriting recognition will not be as good because your writing is, well, you get the idea. How do we do that? Well, let's close the application. Thing that we need to do is we need to give our ink canvas a name. So maybe ink canvas is a good name. And if you've done that, switch to the code behind. So go to mainpage.xaml.cs by opening up this little section over here. And then look for a method. Actually, look for the constructor that is called mainpage. And after the initialize component, make a bit of room to write some code. So what's the code that we are going to write? Well, for the ink canvas, we're going to say the ink presenter. And then we're going to say the input device types. We're going to set that property. By doing so, you can specify what kind of input you allow on this ink canvas. And you can say, OK, we're going to allow windows.ui.core.core input device types dot mouse, for example. And then you do the piping symbol, because we're going to use a binary operation to concatenate multiple. By the way, if you would like to have a quick tip on, well, completing windows.ui.core.core input devices and so on, just hit control space, and then you will see the drop down where you can choose from. And we are going to allow the pen, and we're going to allow the touch. So if you run this application, I'm going to leave the code on my screen for a second so people can catch up. You should be able to actually draw on the ink canvas anywhere on the application. Please give me a nod if it succeeded so I know that I didn't make a typo in my code. Yes, cool. For the people that are using a Mac device, pay attention, it's not a touch screen. So this is even not going to add touch to your...
I Thank you.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I was
confused. Yeah, you can touch it, but you can't touch it. So what I can do indeed is I can draw. I can see you guys are not yet impressed, but have some patience. We're building up the story. The next thing that we're going to do, and once again, if you've got an issue, raise your hand and I will send off some people to help you out. The code that we are going to write, very limited, but does have a nice result. The next thing that I would like to show you is, or explain to you, how you can convert the things that were drawn on that ink canvas into plain text. So if people actually write characters, how you can recognize them. If you think about this, that's actually a pretty complex process, figuring out how characters are written, how, maybe handwriting differs between capital and lowercase and different countries, different character sets and so forth. Well, the ink canvas is going to help you quite a bit by doing so. Close the application and switch back to the XAML. We're going to add one additional user control. So after the ink canvas, add a button. Give that button some content. Let's say do stuff. And we're going to give it an event handler for click. The event handler is automatically added if you click on new event handler after you've typed the double quotes. Okay. So far, so good. A button with a click event and some content. If we now switch to the code behind in your mainpage.xaml.cs, where you typed the previous line of code, you should see that indeed there is an event handler being added, and that's where we are going to write some code, of course. The first thing that I would like to show you is how you can access, basically what they call the strokes that have been done by the user on the ink canvas. So it's not only the pixels that you can get out of it, but you can really get the strokes out of it. So a pen stroke, for example, to interpret that. So what you can do is you can go to stroke container, and then you can do get strokes. This will give you a collection of all the strokes that have been happened on the inking canvas. What I would like to do is I just want to show, let's say, how many we have. So what we can do is we can say message dialog in the windows.ui.popups namespace md is equal to a new message dialog, and we just pass get strokes dot length dot count dot to string. And don't forget to actually show the message dialog so you can see the result. So this code, once again, is going to show you the number of strokes that have been done on the inking canvas. When you're done writing these two lines of code, feel free to hit your application, hit the F5 button, not hit the application, always say that wrong. Start your application, draw some strokes, hit the button, and then you should see a number representing the amount of strokes that were being captured. Let me quickly show you the demo on my machine. So what we can do is we can draw one line, click on the button, and then the message box will say one. That was expected. If you go for multiple, you will see that it's being added. Cool thing is, if you happen to make use of more complex strokes, it still counts as just one stroke. Even if you go for very complex things, see the swirly that I tried to write over there, it still counted as one stroke. If you're trying to figure out what has been drawn on the screen, this is way much more efficient than to, just count pixels. This is way much more efficient, way much more information that you can get out of it. By the way, I'm just doing accounts. You can even get out, for example, the pressure that was being applied to that stroke, how was the speed, that kind of stuff. So you've got very rich information that comes out of it. Cool, but still, we are not there. We still don't recognize any text, of course. How do we recognize text that has been drawn on the inking canvas? Well, luckily enough, we don't need to interpret all the strokes, and we need to figure out, well, the characters that have been written. And, well, I'm going to put the code that I wrote so far in comments, because I don't need to have it anymore. Maybe people are still typing. What I can do is, well, I can create a new ink recognizer class in the namespace windows.ui.input.inking. Oh, sorry, I made a mistake. Is the ink recognizer container that we want to create. Sorry for that. And over there, we've got a pretty interesting method, which is called recognize async. That recognize async method is capable of recognizing text out of strokes. Remember that we had access to strokes. Those were coming from our inking canvas. So what we can do is, well, we can pass as a parameter a stroke collection. So that's ink canvas. Dot. In presenter. Dot stroke container. And as a second parameter, you need to specify which strokes you would like to recognize. I'm going to say, hey, I would like to recognize all the strokes. You can also recognize the recent strokes, for example, if you would like to recognize word by word while people are writing, do the recognition. But that's not the scenario that I'm going to try to show to you. This is an asynchronous method, so I need to add the await operator before it, and let's say I'm going to get a collection of results like this. I still see red lines on my screen. That's usually not a good sign. Somebody knows what is still missing? Async. Indeed. Because this is an asynchronous method, I need to specify, well, this button click is also async, so private async void. Button click. There we go. So what has happened at this point in time? My results variable contains the text that was recognized from the strokes that were written on the ink canvas. And what I can do now is I can say, okay, for each result in my results, and then let's say we're going to create that message dialog once again. And what are we going to put in the message dialog? Well, for the result that was recognized, we're going to grab the get text candidates, and we're going to make use of the first thing that was recognized. Let me show you the result already. I will show you the code in just a second, but then we see the result. I'm going to start my application. Maybe let's make it a little bit bigger. So now if I write, for example, hi, if I click do stuff, as you can see, hi is actually being recognized. And if I do something like cool, I'm not sure if this will be recognized, but let's give it a shot. Hi is the first word. And as you can see, even my very bad writing has been recognized as being cool. And, well, let's maybe do even more difficult. This one will not be recognized, I think, but let's try anyway. at, it's recognized as at, and we still have the high, which is nice. Mind that I'm writing with my finger. If you write by pen, of course, it's easier. Let me show you my code again so you guys can complete your application. And don't forget the async on top of the methods. You guys are seeing some results? Any success? No? Oh, your handwriting is too bad. Yeah. Oh, but that was a bad word you wrote. Oh,
it's the only word. I wanted to write that.
Now, while you're typing the code, let me explain a bit more things that are actually happening. This is probably the most basic code that you write to do that handwriting recognition. If you would have more time, and also if you do the complete lab tonight when you're at home, you can actually specify when you're doing that recognition in which language that text has been written. By default, it will take over the UI language of the operating system, but you can specify this text is in Dutch, and then the Dutch dictionary will be used to actually do a better recognition of the text that was written. So all that kind of functionality is taken into account when that recognition is actually happening. Still typing? Okay, don't you think this is pretty cool? With a couple of lines of code, be able to do inking recognition. Imagine that this application is then executed on a device that actually has a pen. It's very easy to build that kind of functionality. So for the topic that I wanted to present to you, called more personal computing. I don't know if anybody has still some questions about the stuff that we have been talking about. If not, then I'm going to give the floor back to Gilles, who is going to talk about the store and how you can monetize the store, actually make some money. It's going to take around 30 minutes, I think. After that, I will come back and I will present to you, well, the winning tweet, the person that is going to walk away today with that brand new Lumia. So feel free to continue tweeting for the next 15 minutes, let's say. And then we will call it a day. Okay, Gilles?